Okay, back on recording. So this is the book we're using right now. But for those of you who might be new here, today we are going a little bit off script. And we're exploring the idea or the spiritual aspect of what we might call reincarnation. And what brought us, if we're there, what brought us to that particular understanding of life here on planet Earth, that it's not just a one-way ticket. Now I'm just going to give you a little bit of background, and I'm going to leave it up to you guys to fill in the blanks. In what we might call normal everyday Christianity, which most of us grew up in, on some level, whether it was Catholic or Baptist or Episcopal or whatever it might happen to be, that there probably really was no such thing as reincarnation. That was looked upon as being something that those foreigners over there believe in. So you have to be a Buddhist or a Hindu, in other words, in order to be that. Now, legend has it, and I've explored this a number of times, but I haven't gotten any real definitive proof of this, except what other people might happen to say. It's been suggested that in some of the early councils or confabs of the church, Christian church, that sacred scripture was scoured, and most, if not all, of references to reincarnation or other lifetimes was wiped out. I could go into a lot of historical reasons for that, but I'm not going to. So most of us grew up with the idea that that was not something that was part of our belief system, part of our tradition. Then, and I'll just give you a little brief outline what happened to me, and you can fill in the blanks for yourself. I was very fortunate. Even though I was a member of a Roman Catholic religious order, I was very fortunate that they allowed me to explore various other ways of believing without, nailing me to a cross. In fact, one of my favorite stories about that was after we finished one of our meetings of all the brothers in the it's called a chapter meeting of all the brothers in this part of the country. We were getting ready to say our goodbyes to one another because we were all kind of splitting up, and some were going back to teaching school, and some were going on vacation for a couple of days before school started. So we were sharing kind of where we were going. And a couple of guys said, well, I'm going to go with my brother. We're going to go fishing in Lake Erie. And somebody else was going to go visit their family in the Midwest and on and on. Jerry, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to a Hindu meditation retreat in South Fallsburg, New York. And they said, oh, that's cool. Let us know what that's like. That was kind of pretty much the way it went. So it was probably my introduction to Hinduism, Buddhism, as a way of belief, that I started exploring the whole idea of reincarnation. And let me just put it very simply, it made sense to me. It made sense out of a very upside down kind of world where not only bad things happen to good people, but good things happen to bad people. And some people who were not necessarily very good were kind of really doing a hell of a lot better than those of us who weren't. And it would kind of cause me to worry, or not worry, but think about it a little bit. So this question today, this morning, has kind of two viewpoints, two directions. One is, what are some of your thoughts or questions about what we might call reincarnation? And secondly, what brought you to that place of believing in that in the first place? Most of us coming from a rather traditional kind of background. So I'm kind of interested in seeing what other people have to share about that. And I'm gonna try and shut myself up for most part and let you explore this for yourselves. So I know Paul has been chomping at the bit for this for a while. So Paul, do you mind starting us off?
Well, I've been so interested in it for so long, and have come. My first feeling of it was I was very young. And actually, it was right after I lost my first little daughter. She died about 45 minutes after birth,
Wow.
and I used to think, I started wondering, I don't know, I don't even know where it came, because I was not around anybody who has ever, at that time, felt like I did. My sister later had a very strong Buddhist practice, but that it just didn't seem logical that we have one life here, one experience of these experiences. It and people who, like you say, I don't, because, and I think it stemmed from the belief I couldn't quite grasp a God as a person dictating who would have what kind of life. That has never made sense to me. On a scientific basis, on a philosophical or spiritual basis. So, having studied further, then, as I was just kind of pushed at that young age, all of a sudden, the book I became interested after that experience of losing this little baby, I was 17, was Tolstoy, of all things, out of the blue. So, without going into, I know this goes down through the history of reincarnation. If you want to name modern figures, Henry Ford believed in it, Edison believed in it, Lincoln believed in it. And you can kind of, if you really investigate, go on, that one life just doesn't cut it. And I believe in the law of cause and effect of the universe. Without it, I don't see how we're even here. An act is committed, there is a repercussion. That takes many livings. So I just sometimes it has helped me in the sense that whatever I have been through, now this is no, oh, poor thing type of thing, but the sexual abuse from my father as a little girl and my sister had its impact, but I never in my heart felt a resentment in any way. And then I began feeling, when I got more into reincarnation, that you've got to be able to detach from the person you are now. I, at some point in my experience, I have heard of reincarnation. We've all done it all. We've been all kinds of entities and living. So at some point, in order to have this experience now and this time, at some point, my personality inhabited my soul inhabited a consciousness that did something to someone at some point. And there has to be a repayment. I just feel that at some point. But it's not me, Paula. So I know somebody, I feel like people like who Hitler, that there's a mass karmic there. Karma and reincarnation go hand in hand. And I think that's the simplicity of it. Like the Buddha say, it's the almost the wisdom of no escape. Whatever your actions are, there's going to be a reaction, and you may not know it. You probably won't know it, because I think we're protected in not remembering past livings, because as one teacher I had said, we can't handle what we did the other day that we felt wasn't right, let alone thinking about what we might have done eons of
Right.
times ago. So you don't bring that into your consciousness. So with this knowledge and truly aware, and of course I wasn't so aware of it that every action of mine was scrutinized, but deep inside I know that we live again. And Jesus really said it. And if it, one of my all-time wonderful books, if you want to really look at me to reincarnation, is by Manly P. Hall. He was a theosophist. He had the Theosophical Research Society here in, and he I wouldn't he's not a guru. He's not a a person like, let's say, Gandhi. He was a great intellect research mind. He's like have he wrote about everything. He could talk for, I've seen him in lectures lecturing a book. I mean, it was almost like he was writing his book right then. But if you, he has a book called Reincarnation, and it's so thought-provoking because it really gets at the heart of down through the ages, different people who believed in more than just a one-time shot at life. And because living just is, and as Buddha said, it's basically pondering the imponderable. Like you said, it's a mystery. But I just don't feel we come into this earth one person born, and that's the end of it. Nor can I possibly believe, as my daughters do, it separates us, that we go into a space when we die and we all are reunited and live happily ever after. That doesn't make any sense to me when half of us never get along anyway. I just don't see it. It seems so. I have respect, and I feel whatever somebody give whatever gives somebody comfort in their life is what's important.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah.
Can I just pull one little thread? And I say little thread because it's only a very small piece of it from what you shared a moment ago.
Yes.
What would it be like to imagine that your little daughter that you gave birth to,
Yes.
who only stayed here on planet Earth for a very short time, what would it be like to imagine or get a sense that she decided to show up in your life so that somehow or another you would begin to explore this whole idea of reincarnation?
It makes perfect sense to me.
And that's
And I
just
had
one.
enough,
Now, like I
yeah, I
said,
lost
that's just
another daughter.
one little piece, because she
Yes.
also had her trip, her journey. But this was her relationship, her teaching you in that very short time about something that you needed to explore for yourself.
And Jerry, I totally believe that. And then I had my oldest daughter that I live with now. Then I had another big little girl who passed away at 8 months old of a blood disorder. Another thing to me of moving on with this idea. And what was I to learn from this and these little souls coming to me? It was profound. And then I had my other daughter that lives in this area. So I have, and it all changed my, yeah, it started me on my path.
Okay, thanks, Paula. Anybody else want to chime in? Oh, by the way, if you happen to be, if you signed in a little bit late, we are Excuse me. We're a little bit off script this morning. We're exploring the idea of reincarnation and how that affects our lives and our belief system, and maybe even how we came up with that understanding of what life is all about that might have influenced you one way or another. And I'm not saying you have to believe that. I'm just saying that's what a lot of people were exploring this time around.
Gary?
I want to make sure.
Can you hear me on Zoom?
Hang on a second. Can you talk in the mic?
I'll just share.
Can you guys hear her? Okay.
I'll just share a little bit of experience for me. And I think when I look at believing in God, I think it's the same kind of thing. I just believe in reincarnation. And one of the things that came to me was I got involved in some past life work quests. And I just want
to. Just need to speak a little bit louder.
What?
Speak a little bit louder.
I went to a seminar in Lexington on past life experiences. And I volunteered to be the one to go have this experience. And one of the things she spoke about is if you are in this lifetime and have things kind of that you're attached to, they have often been a part of a past life. Like one of my things was I have long hair and I have an attachment to Native Americans. And I believe that I've had a past life as a Native American. Anyway, so she put me under, and I swear it was like I was walking down the street and I was a baker. I loved to bake. And it was like that was so real to me that I don't believe how it can't have been. And, you know, I often think, well, maybe it's, you know, I try to make sense out of my life now. You pull up all these past lives and, oh gosh, that makes so much sense. And because I did a lot after that, I did a number of things with past life experiences. But, I, and I, you know, I just had another tidbit, you know, because my mother died at a young age, she believed in past lives as well. And maybe she planted a seed or something. But it's, again, going back to the first thing I said, you know, is there a God? You know, sometimes I wonder. And it's the same sort of thing for me. Is there reincarnation? Well, I think that there is. And the same thing, well, I think that there is a God. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks. Let me share a piece of, most of you know that I'm in recovery. I often wonder, or at least sometimes I wonder is, you know, I've been making it so far. Not an easy road necessarily, but I've been making it so far. And I wonder sometimes how many lifetimes before this one did I try and make it and not make it? You know, kind of get up to that point of surrender and really stick to it or stick with it. Just a question I ask myself every once in a while that seems to make sense. Because it's such, let's say, in recovery or some other form of life-changing experience, there's such a fine edge sometimes between surrendering to the truth of who you are and still and try or trying to do it the way you were trying to do it before. It's not a one-shot deal. Yeah, Groundhog Day, which is a very interesting phenomenon. I remember I mentioned this. I think Margot and I saw that movie together one time. She couldn't stand it. Any addict that I have ever talked to, or anybody who was addicted, loved that movie, right? And anybody who wasn't couldn't stand it, okay? It was a tremendously interesting phenomenon that somehow, because we absolutely know what it's like to try the same thing and getting different results, or think we're going to get different results. And one day, actually, I wrote a song about that called Groundhog Day. I have to share that with you sometime. Okay, floor's open.
Gary?
Yeah.
I do believe in reincarnation. I had an experience as a child. I lost, at the time, who I considered to be my best friend when I was probably 7 or 8. And I was crushed. I was raised very fundamentalist. So there was a lot of, well, was she saved? And all this, that, and the other. And I'm not going to get into that. But so, trying to rectify what I was taught, and that, you know, well, I hope she's, you know, going to be okay. And I was really upset, and because it was my best friend at the time, and her parents, she lived next door to me, and her parents moved shortly after that, and they moved to a new house in Louisville, and they made a shrine for her in that house in a room. And I remember going in there. This was probably 2 years later, and I remember going in there. And I looked out the window, and Cindy appeared. And all she said was, "I'm okay."
And you knew that.
And I knew that, and then she disappeared. But she appeared and let me know I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really told anybody because I couldn't wrap my head around it at the time, but it was comforting to me, you know. So that's all.
Thank you. As I said before, most of us have been taught or learned, not necessarily even taught, but what most of us learn, that you live this lifetime, and then you mm-hmm. die, and then you go either to heaven, hell, or purgatory.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not baptized, you go to limbo. Remember that one?
Right.
Yeah. And then it disappeared. We stopped believing in that. I wonder what happened to all those little babies that were in limbo someplace. They just kind of floated off. Limbo was the place where good people who were not baptized went. Wasn't quite heaven. It was nice. Wasn't purgatory. It wasn't any fire or brimstone, right? Nice. But can you imagine what it would be like to get to wind up to die one day and get sent to hell because you had a hot dog on a Friday? I had a beef jerky, a bologna sandwich, man. I was hungry. Oh, sorry, mortal sin. Oh, but it's not a mortal sin anymore. Right? But it was, all right? So we got you now, okay? It just, for many reasons, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. That there must be more to the picture than just that. And again, I'm not saying what to believe or how to believe. I'm just saying most of us have come to a sense of there's more, not even in the sense that there's more than one lifetime, but there's more to this thing called living on planet Earth, or life, death, and resurrection. There's more to that than what we've been taught or what we believe. What that more is something that we might be continuing to discover. Because I'm not looking at anyone this morning or any other time just to nail it, saying, okay, well, this is it. This is what you believe. This is what you have to believe. Because what I feel with the book that we're working with, or whatever book we might be working with, that it's always an expansive sense of discovery. That it's never quite saying, okay, this is a doctrine, this is the way it is, this is the way it always has been, because it's not. I don't think we show up here on Sunday morning because we know it all. I think we're all here, and certainly including myself, because we're still learning together, whatever that might happen to be. This just happens to be one facet of that learning that has been somewhat fascinating to people that we've been questioning about a little bit. So I decided that it might be time to explore that. So who's next?
Jerry,
Hey, John.
so I'm remembering that when I was very young, I think this started when I was 11 years old. We were Roman Catholic, and my father would take me to daily mass, and my mother and I were both reading about Edgar Cayce and reincarnation, and so I had kind of a split existence at that time. And but the when I was in my I guess I was 20, 21, something like that, I was a theater major at the University of Missouri, and we had to do this project, and I chose to direct a play. I forgot what it was called now, but it was about death coming, and I dressed everybody up in medieval clothes, and death carried the sickle thing and wore the dark hood and all this kind of
Wow.
stuff. And it was very scary. And I had to live with that production for a whole semester. And I became terrified of dying. I couldn't cross the street without getting nervous, looking both ways multiple times. It was crazy. And so I began to read again all these spiritual books. And again, I was reading about reincarnation, and it made so much sense. Years later, here in Louisville, I met Robert Schwartz at a retreat. Robert Schwartz wrote books like Your Soul's Plan, and I forgot what the other one was called, but it was all about reincarnation. It was all about what he had done is he'd gone to psychics. And he had asked them why certain people had come into this existence and planned the existence that they were currently going through. And some of these, I remember the person who was an alcoholic had planned their existence because they wanted to be an alcoholic so that when they went to AA and they sobered up, they discovered who they now knew who they were and who they weren't, if that makes any sense. And so anyway, I've been reading about this stuff for years and years and years, and I remember someone mentioned Hitler earlier, and I remember reading about a nun who had died, and she had in heaven, or whatever we want to call that place where we go and we leave. She nursed people like Hitler who were so ashamed of what they had done that they would basically go into a catatonic state on the other side. And she nursed them back. And sometimes they would spend years in a catatonic state once they got on the other side and realized what they had done to other people. I just remember that making so much. What an incredible. Now, eventually they healed, but that was what there are people on the other side who help people to heal from the experiences that we're going through now.
Wow.
And yesterday I read about a near-death experience. This woman talked about her experience, but she also said the reason we come to Earth, the reason we come to Earth School is because it is so challenging down here. I guess there's no down or up. It's so challenging here.
Mm-hmm.
And in heaven, everybody loves everybody. All there is love. And so in order for us to grow spiritually and mature spiritually, we choose to come here and go through these experiences, because this is the fastest way for us to develop our spiritual lives and grow and learn. And Casey used to say this and used to explain that that was why we were here and why we went through all this reincarnation. The last thing I wanted to mention was Paul Selig came to Unity years ago and did a retreat. And Jack was still with us at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul offered to contact Jack's daughter who had died. And I don't know if you were there or if you remember this, but so Paul went into a trance and tried to contact Jack's daughter and discovered that she had already, within just a few months, reincarnated and was a baby on Earth again. And so anyway, tying it back to our to Paul. Thanks. And the lessons he's teaching us.
Thanks. John. You know, there's a Buddhist component to that teaching, that nun you were talking about, who dedicated her other lifetime, the spirit world lifetime, to the healing of those who needed healing. In the Buddhist tradition, there is a school called the Mahayana, which is sometimes referred to as the great vessel or the big boat. Its basic philosophy is that the boat doesn't leave until everybody's on it. So the boat to enlightenment doesn't leave until everybody's on it. But part of that tradition also is the creation, is the incarnation of beings that are referred to as the Bodhisattva. And the Bodhisattva are souls or beings that have already accomplished all that they needed to accomplish on planet Earth. They've already been able to learn how to hold everyone and everything in unconditional love. However, at the same time, they've decided to incarnate back again on planet Earth to help those who are trying to work their way through. Now, what's really fascinating about that is you might be sitting next to one of them. You know, it's not all of a sudden that this being is going to be walking around with a halo shining. But it causes me to stop and think that maybe this person behind me in traffic is the Bodhisattva. Maybe this little baby at the grocery store is the Bodhisattva. Maybe this person who's seemingly having a difficult time entering into my life for 30 seconds or 30 years, maybe that's their purpose. So it causes
Jerry?
Me to stop every once in a while and say, instead of judging this person one way or another, what are they here to teach me? What have they volunteered to come here for, to teach me, to learn, to stretch, to grow, to heal? Yeah.
Can I read a little ending thing here I would like to share with you? This is from Manly P. Hall's book, and it comes at the end. The Circle of Necessity was the title of this chapter. It requires a little courage to acknowledge personal responsibility, to accept a belief that teaches that there is no escape from action or the consequences of action. It takes a high measure of resolve to be willing to face the world and acknowledge that all the misfortunes which occur are the result of our own mistakes. That is why the laws of reincarnation and karma have always belonged to the wise and strong, and by their very nature are not suitable to lesser intellects. And then I'll add in there, that's why it's important to realize the reincarnations. You weren't Jerry or John or Jim then and all the others, but the consequences, and if nothing else, reincarnation says, I hope to get it better every time, to act more loving every time, not create upheaval every living.
Because you do.
Yeah.
I believe one of the things that comes about in Unity's belief is that the spiritual life is never two steps forward, one step backwards, that you never go backwards. Might seem that way, might feel that way, but there is truly never a backward step on the spiritual path.
Yeah.
The other hook here, Paula, is, which is really kind of fascinating, is, and I appreciate that quote from Manly Hall, but you can also see where we could get stuck a little bit in saying, well, I believe in reincarnation, so I'm better than you are.
No, that's not the case, but I can see it.
I mean, there's some really interesting stuff that comes along the way that we can get sucked into or wrapped up on. Okay, who's next?
Hey, Jerry.
Yo.
I don't have anything. What Paula said just so resonated with me, in that it's freeing to know that this incarnation that I'm on right now is a continuum, and that it's almost, for me, it's almost like there's like no mistakes or no having any regrets. There's just lessons to learn, and in my awareness, and knowing that if the whatever particular lessons aren't necessarily learned, then my soul gets another opportunity in another life. So that's really, for me, I can't speak for anyone else, that really takes the weight off of my being right now in this present incarnation. Thank you.
How's that a consolation for you, Jim?
What's that?
How is that a consolation for you?
That's such a consolation, is just a freeing. That since my soul choose to come here to experience all that I've experienced thus far, and that which I will continue to experience while I'm on this side, it's for its growth.
Okay. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I think I did to this. I've got a number of different classes going at the same time, so I don't know which one I said and which one I didn't. So I apologize if I'm repeating myself too much. One of my teachers likes to say that the essence of our learning here on planet Earth is to learn how to hold everyone and everything in the light of unconditional love. Everyone and everything. Now, if you think about that, that's not possible in one lifetime.
Amen.
I just haven't experienced. I'm not, you know, the amount of time I've got here is never going to fill up that particular lifetime. Hold everyone and everything in unconditional love. So it's going to take more than one lifetime to be able to do that. Not that that's bad. Not that there's anything limiting about that. It just happens to be true. We're going beyond the physical, what the laws of the physical universe might happen to be.
Jared.
Everyone and everything in unconditional love. And so even though my little self says, well, am I finished yet? I go, well, no. I mean, right in this lifetime, I said, I've still got a whole bunch of people over here I haven't been able to do that with. It's not just people 500 miles away or 5,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes the people next door I haven't been able to do that with. So I've got a way to, I've got a way to go, and that's okay. Because if you're not finished now, you come back and finish it later. That's the other thing about it is. But let's suppose that there's something you haven't finished or something you decide you don't want to finish. Don't worry. It'll show up again. It'll show up again either this lifetime or some other one. Right? That's just the way it is. Nothing wrong with that. The other piece to that is very simple. Now, again, we've talked about this a number of times before, too. And that is that before, this is a very simple rendition of this teaching, before we incarnate again on planet Earth, we get together with our spirit guides, with our angels, with our mentors in the spiritual world. We get together with them and we actually plan, make a blueprint of the learnings that I have chosen to do in this next lifetime showing up. Mm-hmm. It's not predestination, it's a plan saying, here's what I need to learn this time around. And I will dedicate my life and my existence to be able to do that. So anytime I run into something and say, why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening this way. I'm going, Maybe not the circumstances so much, but the lesson that is being learned here is something that you have chosen to learn. How do you learn it might be up to you and the gifts you have this particular lifetime, which might be different from other people. But the learning itself is sort of pre-programmed in what you decided to do this time around. I chose this body. I chose my parents. I chose these particular circumstances that I was going to grow up in so that I could learn this particular lesson, maybe 30 years later, maybe 40 years later, maybe 50 years later. Okay, we're going to take a few minutes to see what we can do to take all this in. I'm going to ask you to, if you care to, close your eyes. And take a couple of breaths. There's probably a lot of stuff that's churning around right now, and that's okay. We all have an awareness that there is more to life than we could possibly imagine. That there is more to experience, to grow with, than we could possibly imagine. So that each one of us lives on what we might call a growing edge. A paradoxical place where there is embracing the present moment and being embraced by the present moment. And also knowing that there are things to learn from the present moment. things to learn that I have chosen to learn this time around. And I can be extremely grateful that there is more than one chance, more than one opportunity to learn what it is I have chosen to learn. And at the same time to realize, even though it might seem like failure or incompleteness, that each one of us at this particular moment is doing the best we possibly can do in this moment. And that's true for all of my brothers and sisters as well. No judgment, no shame, no guilt, no comparison. And so we take a moment to allow ourselves to be in that space of openness, expansiveness, where everything is possible. Where I can begin or begin again to learn through joy rather than through pain. That I can open myself to the truth of who I am, so that I can see myself and see you as well for the perfection that you are. And that is another marvelous paradoxical place, that you are perfect the way you are and there is more to learn. I am perfect the way I am, and I am learning. I am stretching and growing in my capacity for unconditional love. And that stretching and growing is never ending. It is only the small self that seeks a goal or a finishing. Higher consciousness embraces the truth that it is ever expanding, ever growing, ever stretching, ever becoming. I am whole, I am filled with light. I am perfect, I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me, nothing but good shall go from me. I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. Becoming aware of your heartbeat, the rhythm of your breathing, your gratefulness for your journey. And when you're ready to, you can take another deep, cleansing breath. Stretch a bit. Open your eyes. Thank you all for your sharing this morning. We'll be back on track.
Thank you, Jerry.
Have a wonderful week. Thank you, guys.
You as well.
Thanks, Jerry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Let it happen.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, guys. Oh, yeah.